Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for November 30th, 2013. And the big news for this show will be the latest with Comet Eson. This last week, I've written three articles on Comet Eson with about a dozen embedded videos that you can see on my blog at the HeartCom Network. And the really big news that is not fit to print in the mainstream media is what happened to Comet Eson when it passed Mars back on October 6th. And there was a massive plasma discharge from Comet Eson to Mars, lighting up Mars like the head of a comet. That's been kept out of the mainstream media. There's been several videos on the internet that go into detail about this, the specifics of it, the implications of it, and then this has been generally blacked out. You haven't heard anything about it because it's one of the most profound incidences, events, you know, in astronomical history. We've never seen anything like this in our solar system so close to Earth. And with Comet Eson now slingshotting around the sun on Thanksgiving Day, it's moving out, it's getting brighter, and it's moving towards the Earth. And the big question is, will it do to the Earth what it did to Mars? And what will that look like? What are the implications with a massive plasma discharge, thunderbolts, whatever, you know, between Mars and the Earth, as far as the electrical grids and computer chips. And you can see why this is being blacked out, folks. But again, I thought this was extremely important information, urgent information. I'm going to show about it today, giving a little preview of what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be discussing some of the videos that are on these websites, and you can see for yourself. If you haven't tuned into it yet, you'll find some of this quite amazing, profound, as far as the implications for what this could mean and what's likely to happen. And not that I'm setting a matrix for what's going to happen, but I think it's better than the head-in-the-ground ostrich approach. I think it's good to know what's up, what's happening, as above, so below. In other words, everything below, something with an event like this, if there would be a massive plasma discharge between Comet Eson and Earth, that would be not just big news, but everything on Earth would be pretty much back to, horse and buggy times. Nothing would move. Cars, computer onboard to computer boards, chips, you know, that run the cars today, they'd be out. Cars, trucks wouldn't be moving. Communications wouldn't work. Telephones wouldn't be working. Then there'll be shortwave operators, of course, that have their equipment protected by Faraday cages that are grounded. There'll be below ground installations that'll be communicating, because they're below ground, their computer chips will be protected from electromagnetics, probably. Who knows? What level of electromagnetics are we talking about? What's going to go on with the planet? I mean, is this Planet X? If it were Planet X, would NASA be telling us about it? This is something to really think about. I mean, we've been had numerous shows, and I've debriefed listening audiences on the shows numerous times with different experts on the Planet X that it is in our solar system, that it has been moving in, it is being blacked out. Is Comet Eson a cover for Planet X? Is it a natural event that is being spin doctored in the media to make it look like this is going to be a great light show, a brilliant comet, the comet of the century, and an extraordinary cosmic event to watch with no implications of anything other than just a great light show. In order to prevent panic, if it were Planet X, obviously the prevaricating press would naturally position it as something that it's not. In other words, just a great light show. If it is Planet X, we could even expect not just massive Earth changes and a pole shift, but volcanoes going off and 300-400 mile an hour winds, mile high tsunamis slashing back and forth from coast to coast, and you know, it would be big news. You know, not that I'm trying to basically trump the media and be the first one out with the story, but some people listen to this show to get insight on cosmic events, cosmic history, cosmic love. That's kind of the theme I've tried to tie in from the beginning. What's going on with our solar system and our galaxy, with galactic alignment, and what was going on with the Mayan calendar, with the 25,920-year precession of the equinox, with our solar system orbiting up and across the galactic plane, and this cosmic event in terms of what that means and what has meant for the acceleration of enlightenment on Earth, with all space and time being removed with the computer internet revolution the last 20 years, and the potential for basically unveiling all the secrets, all the mysteries of God, all the mysteries of cosmic love. And that's a subject I've thought from the beginning of the show was worthy of attention. I've tried to focus on it. It's all, and that it's all in divine order. There's nothing to fear except fear itself. And such subjects like this that bring to a head, you know, kind of my worst fear, so we can get past it. You know, in other words, fearless faith neutralizes faithless fear. And there's a part of me that just, you know, in an impersonal way, you know, just likes the science of what's really going on and the implications, so we can be prepared or otherwise have insight on what's coming, so we're not blindsided. You know, it's just like good to know what's coming, no matter how bad it is, so you can be prepared mentally, spiritually, physically. So this is what I'm doing with the show. I'm going to be going into it with going through some of these different articles I've had up at HeartCom Network. You can go to the first one I had about a week ago, and that was in regard to, it's called Comet Eson, Media Blackout, and then Beam Me Up, Scotty, trying to keep a sense of humor here. What's going on? That we can kind of just look at it in awe, saying, wow, something's going on. I wonder what this is going to mean. So that first article was at heartcom.org, /esonnews.htm. And the I in Eson and the N in news are capitalized. That links to that will be provided on the website that I'm going to be putting up for the show, that you'll be able to go to that link to see these three articles. That's the first one. And there's an embedded video on that first video, on the first article, that says Comet Eson may be as big as a dwarf sun. It's 21 minutes long. It's actually several numerous video clips that have been put together to give an orientation to what's going on with Comet Eson. This was from Blacklisted News. It may be removed soon. There are not that many people that are really kind of tuning into this, so maybe it's still under the radar, but there are a lot of pictures on that first article, pictures of Comet Eson in Earth's night sky, and uncanny resemblance to that picture that's provided with a crop circle that was done June 27th in a field in England. You can look at that. It's pretty amazing how these crop circles are sometimes harbingers of things to come. And there's a lot of people speaking out on the internet about this comet Isan. Astrophysicist James McCanney revealed that his contacts among military officers and professional astronomers have leaked to him that a mini solar system, comets, you know, whirling around a gravitational baby star, is moving into our solar system. And that, quote, you're on your own, be prepared, this horde of incoming comets and asteroids now threatens Earth. Now, that's the James McCanney that's been talking about Planet X for years. And this is in reference to Comet Isan. Now that many people are saying that Comet Isan is Nibiru, and no one can say that. It's like an unspeakable thing in the mainstream media because there is so much fear associated with Planet X, and people just can't go there. It's just all credibility is lost. People don't want to believe it, and therefore, as far as they're concerned, it's just not true. It just can't be true. And that's the way the human condition works. You know, we believe what we want to believe, and if people's paradigm just cannot accept something, it's like what happened when supposedly this happened when Columbus came to the shores of America, and the Native Americans, when they first landed there in the Caribbean, they could see the ships. I mean, the ships that were out there with their masts, and they knew there was something there, but they just could not see anything like that, like giant ships with masts, because they'd never seen anything like that. And it's like people today who they can't see chemtrails right above their head because they just don't believe they're there. If they do see the streaks, well, it's a contrail, and they just don't go there. It just doesn't compute. Well, it's the same thing with people with UFOs. Many people, or some people, will see the UFOs right there in front of them, and other people in the same group won't see them. They just can't see them. It's just like the fear of the unknown. It's like the symbol of the unknown, according to Carl Jung, is UFOs are like an archetypal symbol of the unconscious and the unknown. And one of the strongest fears is fears of the unknown, and some people just can't go there. It's just too beyond what they can accept as reality. So that first article from this last week goes into kind of this really shocking incident of what happened with that video I posted. The video posted was regarding to pictures of Isan as it went past Mars, and it lit the planet up like a Christmas tree, like the head of a comet. I mean, just amazing before and after shots of Mars from the same telescope, and how it just lit up like the head of a comet, how Mars went comet, you might say. And this is spectacular news, and it's a spectacular event that has a lot of implications. If Isan, you know, it's slingshotting around Mars, it's around the sun on Thanksgiving Day, it's becoming brighter. And a lot of people saying it's astronomers, at least you get these astronomers from the formal government agencies and the media organizations are spinning it as just a dirty snowball comet that's giving off gases in complete willful ignorance of the plasma discharge model, that these aren't gases they're giving off, it's plasma. It's energetic, energizing, ionic, ionizing of the field, the debris field, the dust field. It's just like an energy phenomena. And that actually is the first video that I put, that first article, regarding the science. It's a new documentary. It's a first cut that just came out on the electrical nature of comets. And there's a link there that you can go to, and it's about an hour and 20-minute documentary. And it's very amazing in terms of the understanding of plasma cosmology, the electric universe, and what that looks like from the perspective of satellites the last 10 years, from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and even NASA clips that have shown with experiments that these comets and these asteroids aren't dirty snowballs. They're actually, it's a plasma energetic phenomena that doesn't fit Newtonian physics. It doesn't fit the old paradigm of a mechanistic universe with dirty snowballs. And they've exposed that dirty snowball theory is all wrong, And this is, again, from current research, the last 10 years, breakthrough research and experiments they've done with smashing satellites into comets and other, shooting things into comets and realizing that they're not dirty snowballs, number one, and number two, that it's of an electrical plasma nature that's creating all these phenomena that we see in the comet heads, the brightness, the tail. It's more of an electrical quantum universe model, the new paradigm of the energy of energy and the electrical universe. So, again, old paradigms die hard, and we're seeing mainstream TV repeatedly talking about dirty snowballs and how they're gassing off these gases as the ice melts as it goes around the sun. Oh, my gosh, this Elon went around the sun, went really closer to the sun than they thought, came out the other side, and it's brighter than it was when it went in. And you can see the video of that. I provided a video and a link to that on the homepage, the link that I'm putting up. So you'll be able to see an actual SOHO satellite, NASA satellite, that shows a picture, a time-lapse picture of ESON as it comes around the sun on Thanksgiving Day and then the day after, which is yesterday. So this is current, folks. You're seeing a time-lapse phenomena of Comet ESON as it slingshotted around the sun. It's coming out bright on the other side, and all kinds of astronomical garbage is being turned out by the mainstream media. It's like cognitive dissonance. It's like after the assassination of JFK, hundreds of books, if not thousands of books, were written about all the conspiracy theories where people were so confused they didn't know what to think, and no one had the time to sort it all out. So the first reports of ESON when it went past Mars, and the first reports that are coming out now as ESON went around the sun, and as it moves towards the Earth, these first reports are sometimes the best. But now we're getting all kinds of other reports, all kinds of disinformation from the mainstream media that people take as, they want to believe that it's just going to be a big light show, folks. It's just going to get brighter and brighter. There are a lot of mainstream media people that are saying it's going to be the count of the century. It's going to be bigger than the moon. We're going to see it during the daylight. It's going to be this huge phenomena, just a beautiful light show, and da-da-da-da-da, in other words, blah, blah, blah. It's just like a bunch of garbage from the perspective of the plasma discharge model in the electrical universe. And from that perspective, which the mainstream media is not going to repeat at all anymore, and they're going to repeat what happened when Mars, lit up like the head of a comet when ESON went past. They're not going to give any kind of credibility or credence or cognizance to the potential, the possibility that the same thing could be happening here before long. And we're talking about mid-December in through January that something could be going on here with the Earth, and some kind of a discharge, electrical discharge, thunderbolts, plasma discharge, whatever you want to call it, into the Earth. Is it possible? Well, look what happened to Mars. So this is pretty significant stuff. It's got a lot of implications here. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm an old Eagle Scout. The Be Prepared thing's pretty strong in my bones, and I've worked with a lot of survival communities and with food reserve programs over the years, and the Mormon religion, I supplied them with food reserves for years. They believe religiously that you got to have 2 years of food or you're not a good Mormon. And I understand that some people believe these things are to be prepared for, and other people would just as well put their head between their legs and kiss their ass goodbye. They don't want to live in a world like that. They don't want to go underground. Or they don't want to be, be the remnant and have to scrap out a living on the face of the Earth. So there's a full spectrum of perspectives on this, folks. And I don't, I'm not saying exactly what's going to happen. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. All I know is that I know what has happened, what is happening. There's some truth coming out on this subject of the electrical universe and the quantum field of the Earth, how it's been changing dramatically the last 20 years with galactic alignment, This never got any media coverage, the photon belt of our galaxy and how our Earth orbits up and across it. I mean, all this stuff gets covered up because the implications are profound as far as the acceleration of consciousness, the accelerating rate of change, the accelerating rate of change with the magnetic poles of the Earth. The Schumann resonance of the Earth has been increasing. The Schumann resonance of the Earth, which is like a heartbeat of the Earth, corresponds to the alpha waves in the brain. And so our brain fields, our consciousness fields, they've been accelerating as the Schumann resonance rises, and that used to be a standard at a lower frequency that was the standard for military communications for decades. And now that's been changing, and other things have been changing. Like I say, the magnetic fields, the magnetic north pole of the Earth have been changing dramatically to the point where runways, airport runways, have had to change their computer programming and orientation for landing planes that are coming in on automatic pilot. All these things are happening in real time. The last 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, we've come to this point of quantum reality. It's, you know, everything is energy, and in the quantum field, we're all connected. And the connection is now like never before because of the instant, everywhere, interactive Internet. It's like a global village, and the family man is now to the point where either we all hang together with some kind of more enlightened common sense, or we're going to hang separately. And I believe that the thoughts of humanity have a direct influence on the morphogenic grids of the Earth. They actually have satellites that can, the Coherence Project, they have satellites that can actually monitor the collective field of the Earth, and when there are spikes in the global emotion with global events that happen and how it creates spikes in these satellites that are monitoring the morphic energies of the collective consciousness. So that says to me, and I've kind of figured it out over the years, that this understanding of belief, what people believe, just like what they believe with the placebo effect, you know, with drugs, if they can give people sugar pills or real drugs, and they find out that if people believe a drug is going to help them, then they have far more efficacy than if they believe it's just a sugar pill. It's called the placebo effect. Well, in the same way, if people believe that an event is happening whereby the collective consciousness of humanity has to unite in a very positive way to deflect, you might say, it's like point counterpoint, a polarity. If there's a collective positive energy in the collective consciousness of humanity, you might say it raises the shields of the Earth and deflects any polarity energies and negative energies rather than attracting them. And, or, you know, it's like you might say that the concept of negativity or being stuck in negativity, S-I-N, stuck in negativity, attracts negative events, or, you know, events that, you know, I'm talking about like in the quantum field, events like, what, a comet that's electromagnetic? There's dynamics here whereby a positive energy will repulse an energy that, you know, that's, and, I mean, there's positive-negative charges is what I'm talking about here. And just like the two heads of a magnet, you get two heads of a magnet, and they'll both repulse, but whereas the negative ends will attract. So, I mean, the reverse ends will attract. And so the concept of it's all energy, it's all quantum reality, and we create our reality and shape our reality, then it shapes us. So I'm trying to put this into a metaphysical, philosophical perspective of how this is a form of what the Hopi elders refer to in their prophecies as the Great Purification, and fundamentalist Christians refer to it as the tribulations or the judgment. And what is the judgment? Well, you know, it's a judgment to, and it's different with different people, have different judgments as far as their soul contracts. The soul contracts of one person may be that they understood when they came into embodiment that they would go out at this time. And other people make have come in and made the vow that they will prepare and will be the remnant, and no matter how hard it is, they'll try to survive for future generations. Some people have that soul contract more so than others. And you get the full gauntlet of people's judgment. At this time, it's not blanket judgment. It's a selective judgment, and it's based on selective soul contracts and the choices that, you know, everyone will make if and when this thing starts getting bright in the sky and it becomes self-evident that this is something huge, and if there's earth changes that begin, or if on January 3rd or 4th it's estimated that Isan will pass the earth. And if that happens, there's speculation. I was reading Russian scientists here this morning. I was talking about that it's approximately at this time, January 3rd or 4th, that we can expect a lot of space debris from this comet. And if it is, of course, the planet X, there was a huge amount of space debris. There's multiple moons, seven moons, some like giant asteroids, but then a huge amount of space debris that will be pummeling the Earth. Or maybe it is just a comet. Maybe it'll just be meteor showers with a lot of meteor-like asteroids hitting the Earth. Are there small ones, big ones? What are the implications there? Again, what is the judgment of our Earth at this time when we're poisoning the planet with chemtrails, GMOs, the toxic genetic poisons in the food chain, chemicals, radiation in the oceans and in the air? Is it the mercy of the law that there is a great purification, as the Hopi call it, or tribulations or cleansing or purging? So what are we talking about here? Well, we don't know, and then we'll see. Some people listening to the show are, I'm sure, convinced, if they've listened this far, that it's going to be a non-event and I'm just being hyperbolic, a bunch of hyperbole here. And don't want to believe. Some people listening will just say, well, look, I just don't believe that happened on Mars. I don't want to believe that. It just didn't happen. And they would have told us about it on TV if something big that happened. Other people whom I would think are a little bit more mature will realize that they can't put that kind of stuff on mainstream TV. I mean, the public broadcasting service, PBS, had a show on this last, I believe it was a Tuesday or Wednesday. It was before Thanksgiving, a few days. Maybe it was Monday, but it was, you know, this last week, and they had a show on Comet Isan. They didn't mention what happened on Mars, and it was a show that was obviously created right before Thanksgiving. You know, I mean, right before this showing date. It was a contemporary thing. It was after they had information in that video that was done obviously latter October. And the Mars flyby of Isan was in October 6th and 7th. So they didn't mention anything about that. And they talked about how this is, folks, this is going to be a good light show. This is going to be a great light show. Comet of the century. And so why didn't they tell us the truth about what happened on Mars? Why is it's like a puff piece and a cover-up? Well, it's kind of obvious in one sense. They don't want to frighten the public. They want people to continue going to work. They don't want chaos, social chaos, and people freaking out. And some people, even as they hear this, would probably concur that or believe that. Well, again, they would tell us on television or the mainstream media the truth of this. What have they got to hide? Why wouldn't they tell us? They're NASA. They're the space agency. Other people know that NASA has covered up a lot of things over the years and provided misinformation and disinformation on different issues. And they're just an extension of a larger government agency that has been creating these hundreds of deep underground military bases called DUMs around the United States. They've been created all over the planet. They've been watching Planet X come in since 1983. You know, that's when their deep space radar satellites began. They're using infrared. They began seeing this thing come in on the trajectory that Zachary Sitchin referred to in his book on the 10th planet regarding Planet X, coming in on the same trajectory. and the whole understanding of Planet X. They're up on it, how it comes into our solar system every 3,660 years or so. So they've been watching this. They've been preparing. They've been having huge convoys of trucks going down into these deep underground military bases, supplying them with years of food. And that's based on their, you know, policy of the official government. It's called continuation of government, or COG. They're preparing, and you might say rightfully so. I'd like to think they're secretly preparing them for civil defense shelters for the masses, but I wouldn't count on it. From everything I understand, this the whole policy is they don't want too many people down in there. They can't take care of everybody, so they're just taking care of themselves, their families, key military people. So after this thing passes, or after there's a kill shot with an electromagnetic pulse from the sun, a solar corona ejecta, or some global, what's sometimes referred to an extinction-level event, that they will come out of their shelters afterwards and have continuation of government. And this will be the culling of the population, or the reducing of the population that they've been talking about with the Georgia Guidestones and with their think tanks for years about how Earth's populations need to be reduced to 5 to 10% current levels. And a lot of people thought, well, that's the New World Order. They're just going to kill people off. Well, now they know what was coming. They knew the danger, and whether it's Planet X, whether that's ESON is Planet X, I'm not saying that. I'm saying something's going on here with the cover-up. They're making it out to be a great light show, but they're not telling the whole story, you know, what happened when it went past Mars. So this is interesting stuff. I would think to anyone that's got a grip on reality and more interested in what's real than believing what's not real. Some people are really happy with their cherished delusions and willful ignorance and just won't go there. And that's fine. I think, you know, to have a respect for whatever a person's religious BS is, when I say BS, belief system, you know. I mean, mankind has free will, so they can believe anything. And, you know, you can't interfere with a person's religion. That's like interfering with their free will. If people want to believe that it's all good and want to believe that way right up to their last dying day, I think, you know, more power to them. At least they're going to go out with wind in their sails that it's all good. A lot of people, though, who get traumatized with earth changes or such, you know, with wailing and gnashing of teeth and all that, you know, stuck in negativity stuff, you know, there's some people that are just going to, and some people, I've heard this repeatedly, are back from previous incarnations when Planet X passed. There was a guy, Andrew Bartzis, I had on Cosmic Love, and he talked about this, how many people have experiences from previous embodiments when they went out in a horrible way, and they remember that in their deep unconscious in previous incarnations. They have a soul memory of that, and they're just freaking out on this, and they're just not going there. They just don't want to believe it. They don't want to face it. Other ones from that soul memory do want to face it, and they do want to survive this time, or they want to prepare, or they want to be aware of what's going on, so ideally they can, and their families, prepare and survive. And, of course, there's ways to do this on the surface. And actually, shelters on the surface may be far safer than these deep underground military bases that could be crushed with earth changes. So there are different people that have moved, different places in the United States, Arkansas, Montana, North Carolina, the mountains, the different places where there are not just the deep underground military bases, but the elite have built a lot of $500,000 shelters, and there are survival communities where shelters, you know, for a dozen people, for 100 people, 200 people, I know of them around the United States. I know of people that have built those shelters. I followed this over the years, and a lot of them are sitting half empty, if not mostly empty, because people got tired of paying their monthly dues on these things, you know, who went together and helped build these things years ago when there was survival interest, so, you know, going all the way back to JFK when there was almost a nuclear attack from Cuba on the United States, and people were crazy about fallout shelters. You might say they're crazy, but maybe those are some of the people that will survive now that have those fallout shelters. Or people that have root cellars, or, you know, just underground shelters that will be protected from a lot of what could be going on with electromagnetic pulse or pole shift and winds, 200 mile an hour, whatever. You know, there's a lot that could be going on. I'm not going into worst case scenarios, but I've over the years I've had people on the show, Dennis Korn, from who has Alpenair Foods and has worked with sports backpackers and survivalists for many years. He keeps up on a lot of the stuff that's going on. The subject of Planet X, Nibiru, is a very serious subject with a lot of people. A lot of billionaires have built, you know, $500,000 shelters in Arkansas and around the United States. And a lot of the elite have their islands, which I wouldn't think would be the safest place unless they got a high mountain retreat on them. But there's just a lot of, the whole gauntlet of preparation. Some of them will be will work better than others. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And I don't mean to set the matrix or create a matrix or create expectation of fear and doom and gloom. What I would like to see, of course, is a revolution in higher consciousness where people would come openly come into, you might say, alignment with their higher self or their real self or their Christ self. And and for Christ's sake, you know, in the name of the Christ, or you know, or the name of their mighty I Am presence, or higher, you know, higher power, or whatever, however they call it, the Great Spirit, as the Native Americans would call it, that their pure intent now is to come into alignment, to have discernment, you know, gifts of the Holy Spirit, to know better and do better, you know, to prepare as best they can. And again, whether it's modest preparations or serious preparations, it all depends on each person's judgment. And each person's judgment is unique to their soul contracts, what they came in with. And I'm a real big believer in that. You know, I've come around to this understanding of soul contracts over many years, working with medical intuitives and, you know, healers and people that are extremely attuned to a healing from a soul spiritual perspective, and how a lot of disease comes down to, you know, dis-ease in terms of disconnect with their, you know, you might say their joyful self, their fearless self. A lot of cancer comes out of what's called a cancer personality that worries all the time, and so there's a lot of healers understand that there's, you know, there's spiritual disease that causes mental, emotional, and physical disease. That's kind of common sense among holistic healers. It's like the source, the cause behind the cause behind the cause is an energetic dis-ease or disconnect with joy, with forgiveness, with love. And the whole planet now is facing a big test in that regard. You know, how much do we really love? How much do we really care to come apart from the insanity of civilization and pull a Noah in an underground ark, you know, with the nearest and dearest, or, you know, family and friends, or, you know, people of like interest that have sensed that something is coming, and they're seeing the signs, and they're making final preparations. So this is this is a dicey subject for a lot of people. You know, like I say, a lot of people have different takes on this. Some people can't go there at all. It's like talking about 9/11 to some people. They're just not going there. You know, that's all that conspiracy stuff, conspiracy theory, and just, you know, each to their own. You know, it's like it's a selective judgment. People will choose, you know, what, based on their prevailing awareness, and the prevailing awareness is like, everyone's prevailing awareness is like the tip of an iceberg. I mean, it's just the tip of, you know, most of what goes on is in the subconscious and the unconscious. In other words, it's way below the surface of consciousness that runs people. And a lot of that subconscious stuff is fear from previous embodiments, fear of dying at the hands I know one guy that used to go to Source all the time. He was raised, and I lived and worked with this guy for 6 months. He was a genius. He had many Nikola Tesla type inventions and Royal Raymond Rife type inventions, and he would go to Source directly. He was trained how to do that by his grandfather, who raised him, was a shaman, and his wife on an Indian reservation, and he learned to go to source directly at a very early age. And all his life, he's had ability to go to source. So to have a direct source connection and to be able to know things and research things, well, this individual basically had insight into what goes on, with the quantum field, electrical universe, and like I say, developed a lot of Nikola Tesla technologies and just amazing technologies. And he had second sight, and he basically, invented or went to source and would get insight on how to invent, working with people that were smarter than him with electronics or otherwise, because he was more of a, he wasn't an electrical engineer himself. But he would develop technologies and abilities to understand things. Like, for example, he had an infrared viewer that he could look up into the sky, and you could see just the sky full of cloaked UFOs, cloaked ships. They're just monitoring the Earth and watching the big show that's going down here with human evolution at this unique point in cosmic history, where Earth's evolutions are starting to pop into a kind of a collective Christ consciousness, going like higher consciousness, unity consciousness. The veil is thinning and gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there's a new unity consciousness, unity and diversity, like effective sensory perception. The veil is thinning with a lot of people popping off and with all kinds of gifts of the Holy Spirit and just knowing things intuitively. And a lot of these intuitives, coming to the same understanding of, there is a higher power, and it's everything's in divine order, and to the extent that we have good judgment, good discernment, we make good choices, and again, that's a function of each one's the soul contract, what they come in with. I was referring to this inventor, and I kind of got off track, but he told me he used to go to source regarding his previous incarnations, and he referred to some of his previous incarnations, some of them that weren't so great, and he learned a lot, and of course he had a great commitment in this embodiment to help people and to service to others, to help the health and the well-being of humanity with his inventions. And the story, I actually have it written up in my Meetings with Miraculous People. It's an article website I have. And the third article on Comet Eson on my heartcom.org page, I have a link to that, and you can read about this individual. But I did mention this, and this is that many years after going to previous embodiments and, reconciling how he had misqualified energy in previous embodiments, going to source and getting these records, you might say the Akashic records, he went back to a point where he said that there was, in ancient history, we're talking about thousands of years ago, there was a time when these aliens, reptilians at Anunnaki or whatever, had come to Earth and basically were taking people, and he went out of embodiment with great terror at that point. The terror was so great that he wouldn't go back, even go to source for months after that. And his habit was every night he'd go to source, and even during the day he'd lay down and go to source to get, access to information on things. And of course, this guy didn't say he was a shaman. He just told me his story. I think he wanted me to write his autobiography, but it was just too far out. No one would believe it if I wrote the real story. I wrote a short story on it, but I didn't mention this. And that is that there's a lot of people from previous embodiments, like himself, that had a terrifying experience in the past. In this case, it was aliens, the bad aliens, so to speak. And some people believe, no alien is a good alien, just like some people a couple hundred years ago in the pioneer in the frontier, had this mindset that no Indian was a good Indian. And, of course, we know that, and anyone that's really mature on the path and has really got into cosmogenesis and the different sentient beings all over the universe realizes there's good sentient beings, we would call aliens, even though they may look like really strange creatures. And, I mean, it's just, this is you might say all humans if we there, if for those humans that incarnated, and many people have this understanding that many people have incarnated from many systems, the worlds throughout the galaxy. So, and so this is where we're at now. Exciting times, interesting things in process, and I just thought I would give a little bit of that to where you could go read the show material yourself, watch the video links, and there's a Thanksgiving message in there of gratitude, the attitude of gratitude. I want to thank you all for listening, and happy trails until we meet again. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense. And it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity, as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on Earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.